Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read the whole chapter here and look at it as we have this Memorial Day weekend. We have a call to remember as Moses speaks to the Israelites those several millennia ago. It's amazing that we can look back and read something that was written about 3,400 years ago. And I don't know how much we stop and think about those things. That this is material that Moses wrote about 1,400 B.C. We are now 3,400 years removed from his day. And here we are reading his words of encouragement, reminders to the Israelites as they are getting ready to go into the promised land. But let's read our chapter. It says, "And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against thee this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity now that we have to draw our hearts and minds to focus on you and your word, to be, as believers who are gathered here, open and useful vessels in your hands, yielded to do what you would have us to do, yielded to your working in our lives to make us more Christ-like, to shave off the rough corners, as it were, to hone us to properly and clearly show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank you for that refining process, that sanctifying work that you do in the lives of your children. And Father, we pray that we would take those refinings and gladly embrace them and be changed into the image of Christ. We pray for that soul that's here that's lost. May you draw them unto thyself. Father, we know the Holy Spirit is sent to convict and to convince them of their sin and their need of trusting Christ. And in that glorious work of salvation, may you be at work drawing them unto thyself. May they yield to that working of the Holy Spirit and come to know Christ as their Savior before they leave this place. Do that work that only you can. We thank you that your word goes forth and it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you please and desire to do in our hearts. And we thank you for that promise, knowing assuredly that you are at work in our place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Memorial Day, a day for remembering those who have died protecting our country. I'm always humbled by that because you realize we can never repay them. We can never really properly give them our thanks because they've passed from this life. Those that we that know Christ as their Savior, obviously we will one day see them, at which point we could and can, and I trust maybe we will, thank them for giving their lives in the support of our country. But we're left with that just seemingly intangible. All I can do is remember. We can have parades, sure. We can go to national cemeteries where they're at. We can put wreaths. We can put flowers on their graves. For those that are family and friends, we can do those same things. But apart from that, there's nothing really we can do to them because they've gone. And so to me, it's always a kind of a bittersweet time. It's sweet to remember them, but then it's that bitter part because I can't step up to them and say thank you. You know, I trust that we do. I don't always. It doesn't always trigger with me when I come, but you know, I see somebody, whether they be in uniform or whether they're wearing a ball cap that says, you know, I'm an Army veteran, Air Force veteran, Navy veteran, I do like to say thank you for your service. And so I can thank them because they're there physically in front of us. But, you know, those that have given their full measure, we can't. But we do remember them in our ways that we can, and I trust that we do. And as we look at the scriptures, our Bible talks much of remembering the former things. There is, I'm paraphrasing a statement, but there is from a last name of Santana, those who refuse or those who do not study history are kind of doomed, condemned to repeat it. And again, I'm paraphrasing what his quote is, but how often we see that take place. We come across something that happens and we realize, well, this has happened before. Oh, I didn't learn. I didn't get it. And here I am coming back around and doing it again. But our Bible speaks of that same thing because I know God knows us. We are, whether we do well or not, we are a forgetful people. We may think, well, no, I have a pretty good memory. I can remember a lot of good things, and there's a lot of things I have forgotten, things that I don't remember. And so God puts those remembrances in his book because he knows us. He knows mankind. He knows that we can tend to forget. And so as you read through the scriptures, you may wonder at times, why did God say that again? Why do I have this repeated again? You know, you read the first five books of the Bible, You have the history of the Jews up to the point of standing on the east side of the River Jordan and looking into the Promised Land, ready to enter it. And so we have that history in those five books. But then as you read through the Psalms, guess what the psalmist does over and over and over again? They will recap, obviously not in five books, but within a psalm, a song, recap briefly that history and give it to that generation in which he's living to remind them. Yes, you have the Pentateuch to read, but here, I'll just give you a little remembrance. I'll give you a little recap of how our God was faithful to our ancestors. And so we have these remembrances along the way. We find it later on as well. And Paul tells the Corinthians, those things are for your example. Church of God, New Testament believers, look at the Old Testament. Look at the Jewish nation, the Israelites. See how God dealt with them, his chosen people. And learn. Did they always follow God? No. What did God do when they didn't follow God? He judged them. New Testament believers, take heed. Follow God and you'll be blessed. Depart from God, turn away from God, and God loves you. He will chasten you. That's not his desire. He wants to see us follow him and bless us. Just like parents, did we like chastening our children? Now, as children, we probably thought they did. And our children may have thought that mom and dad really enjoy this. No, they don't. They don't. It's one of the hardest things to do. Because I know it's avoidable. It's a teaching time. How much more our God? He would rather bless us. He would rather show his bounty, his love, than to chasten us. But he will chasten us. But as we look at this passage, and this is the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. If we know our Jewish history, if you will, this is Moses coming to the end of his life. They have gone through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. A new generation is now ready to go into the land. And is reiterating to them what he gave to their parents 40 years before. It's time to get you ready. We got them ready. They came to Kadesh Barnea, there we go. Sent the spies in. 10 said no, 2 said yes. The Israelites followed the 10 instead of following the 2. And so we condemn them for one day that those spies were in. They were there for 40 days. One day a year you're going to wander around. So they wandered around for 40 years. So that generation that was 20 years old and older died off. They had the opportunity to enter the land and they chose not to. And so that generation that was of age had to die off. And now they have. And so here we are dealing with those that are 60 years old and younger, or 59 and younger, except for Joshua and Caleb. Moses is there and he's getting that generation ready. Here's the law again. Here's God's blessings and curses. Bless the Lord. Follow the Lord. Walk in the Lord, and he will bless you as you get ready to enter this land that he has promised to you. And so he reminds them in this chapter alone, though this is part of the bigger picture, remember the leading of the Lord. Again, those that are 59 years old, and obviously slightly younger, are going to well remember that 40-year period of wandering. Those that were born during that time, you know, they would catch on to it at some point in time and realize what's going on. But those that were older well understood what the last 40 years was. I was talking with someone here a couple weeks ago. We were looking at, you know, a little bit about Caleb and Joshua and thinking what they had to go through for 40 years. Waiting. Man, we were there. We were so close. We should have followed the Lord. And they find that these two men, there's no indication that they were ever, and it doesn't mean that they weren't, but God doesn't record for us that they were resentful to the rest of the Israelites. Said, you bunch of nincompoops. You ingrates. We had an opportunity to go in and get God's blessings, and you didn't. So now I'm going to have my nose bent out of shape against you people because you wouldn't. We don't see that. Joshua is going to be the one to lead them in. Caleb will be there right beside him, serving the Lord. But we have this, remember the leading of the Lord. And he calls on those things back in verses 1 and 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. And then he shows them some of those things, reminds them of it. Remember, God was leading you. Yes, even in the midst of this wilderness wandering. As God is letting the clock tick. As that generation dies off, one by one, you saw all this. You saw how I took care of you. You needed water? I provided you water. You needed food? I gave you food from heaven. And yet we know some of them abhorred that heavenly food. Gave you quail. Everything you needed, I gave. I provided. Did your clothes wear out? No. Did your feet swell from all that walking? No. What would it be like to be able to have clothes that last for 40 years? Man, it'd go out of fashion. Well, it wouldn't for them. I mean, they're in the wilderness wandering, you know. But they're called upon to remember how the Lord has led you. I mean, was it a road of ease to get to the promised land? No, it wasn't. They had those around them that didn't want them around, that caused problems. Did God fight your battles? Yes. Your God has taken care of you even in the midst of that generation that did not want to go in, that did not trust the Lord. He was still with you. May we remember the times of humbling, the times of learning. As we look at our lives, those of us that are older, we tend to start looking back at our lives. There comes a point in time, and it varies for everybody, I think, that we come to that realization There's more of my life behind me than is in front of me. And we hit that realization. And sometimes it's like we ran into a wall. And it's like, oh, my word. Okay, that's a somber thought. It gets better once we get through the wall. But we start to look back. And what a joy if we have served the Lord rightly. Oh yes, it's not a straight pathward upward, I realize that. We do see the times of chastening. We do see the meanderings. But we see God faithfully bringing us back to Himself. And so we even rejoice in those times of chastening because we see God brought me back. And I rejoice that He didn't let me go and follow that path to its terrible conclusion. He was gracious. He was merciful. Yes, He chastened me. He got my attention. I went to the woodshed. But I so thank the Lord that He did, and I responded. And I asked for His forgiveness, His cleansing. And He brought me back to where I needed to be, living for Him, serving Him, following Him. I don't regret those. Those are wonderful times. Was it easy during that time? No. But I thank the Lord for it. And I rejoice in that and see how God blessed and moved us forward to serve Him. We remember the chastening of the Lord as we touch your point two there. Verses 5 and 6, as they bring that up. Again, we thank the Lord for those. Why? Because He loves us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, He reminds us of that. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And I trust that we do rejoice. We may not in the moment rejoice in the chastening, because it is grievous. But it does bring forth a joyous reuniting, if you will, in our fellowship with our God. I think of a time within my own life, a time that I thought was right, but as things progressed, I knew it was wrong. Before I met my wife, I was engaged to another girl. And as time progressed, this was not the right one. But being a stubborn German that I am, pushed forward, steam ahead. No, we're working this out. And God finally had to sever it through her parents. I was hurt. But I knew deep down, yeah, this needed to break off. This is not the one that is to be by my side. But you hate to give up on it. Especially when me and girls dating were not that much of an item through the high school and college years. But as time progressed, the few months that followed, I realized, yes, Lord, that was right. Thank you. Forgive me. You showed me early on, and I chose not to. Thank you for finally getting my attention. We parted ways. And then, 9 months later, God brings three teachers to our Christian school. And our administrator gathers us eligible young men one Sunday after church and says, "We have three young ladies coming in to teach. Let's take care of them." And I thought, okay, Lord. She gave the names. And as I think some of you have heard, as we've talked individually or things, I picked Lynn Flournoy by the name. I said, "Lord, how about Lynn Flournoy? Is she the one that I can inquire, see if the Lord will open this door?" The first one came. Penny. No, nothing against Penny. She was about 6'1". Large bone. And her father was even taller. And said, "Okay, Lord, that's not, no, can't see that working out. Okay, Penny's off the list." And then Lynn and Debbie came. They were friends. They had taught for a year in Virginia and came down to our church when that school closed up. Sat in the choir, kind of over on this side of the choir loft. Lynn and Debbie were sitting over there, choir director standing there. I could look like I was looking at the choir director and see Lynn sitting over there on the other side. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I like what I see. She's a beautiful young lady. Let's see if she loves you, serves you, follows you." Besides the fact that I needed to get up the nerve to ask her out. But that following springtime I did, and she said yes. And as she often will tell young ladies, "If you are interested and you cannot go out, please tell him a rain check." Because she said yes, but then when it came time to take her out for dinner, she was not feeling well. And so she sent me a note saying she'll take a rain check. And we had talked afterwards. I said, "If you hadn't said a rain check, I would have never asked you again." I would have figured, oh, that yes was just to appease him. But now that I have this out, yes, I don't have to go out with him. But no, she said, "I'll take a rain check." I said, "Oh, there's a glimmer of hope." And God brought the right one to me. And God brought her to me. And brought her in his timing. And we've talked about this. I've even talked with my pastor back at the time. I said, "I don't know, but it might have been my fault for her not coming right out of college graduation." Because had she come after graduation, and she had inquired, her and Debbie, but that year before, we didn't have any openings. But if she would have come right after graduation, I was still very much engaged to somebody else. And I don't think we would have had the same outcome had she been there that year to watch what I went through. But God kept her away for a year to work on me. But we think of those times, and I thank the Lord for that chastening, because it got my head on right and got me focused back on the Lord in living for Him as I should. In verses 7 through 20, we see the faithfulness, to remember the faithfulness of our Lord. God has been and will be faithful in our lives. And what we see in the past and see His faithfulness prepares us for today. He will continue to be faithful to me and gives us the assurance that as God gives us tomorrow, is He going to be faithful? Yes. Why? Because he was faithful yesterday. And he is faithful today. And I rest in that assurance that whatever comes tomorrow, God is going to be there with me. And he will guide me, he will comfort me, he will strengthen me, he will provide for me. And so Moses brings those same things back up, repeats them within this chapter. I did these things in warning, I did these things in comfort and help, and guess what? I'm going to still continue doing them because I'm God. I'm your God. I am with you. I will watch over you. I will be there for you. And what a joy and comfort it is for us to experience that. Day in and day out. That we can see God at work in our lives and know that he will continue to be at work in our lives. Because he's our God. He is our faithful God. He is our Heavenly Father. And so as Moses called on that generation to remember, he calls on us in our day, by example, if you will, to remember. Remember your God. Remember how he has brought you to this point in your life. Thank him. Praise him. And then keep on keeping on for him. Maybe he's trying to get your attention because we have wandered a little bit. Thank him for the chastening. Seek his forgiveness and cleansing and come back on the right path to enjoy his blessings, to enjoy that full fellowship, that smiling face, if you will, instead of that look of concern because we're not going the right way. What a joy to, as it were, pictured in our mind, that smile on his face as we serve him faithfully. He calls on us to do so, but he calls on us to remember. And I trust at times we do, whether we're young or we're not thinking about, well, my goodness, I'm only 13 years old, 16 years old. Statistically speaking, I have most of my life in front of me, not behind me. But even there, we can see the working of the Lord. How he has maneuvered and worked in our lives to draw us close to him. And can rejoice in those things that he's even doing there as a young person. You know, you're not left out. You say, well, I can't do any of that till I get older. No, you can see that now. I see how the Lord orchestrated my life to bring salvation to me. I saw that shortly after I trusted Christ and realized, yeah, God was orchestrating. God worked it out that I was in an elementary school that Gideon's left little pocket New Testaments for them. And now I had a Bible that I could read for myself. And then God moved us to Eastern North Carolina. Got a trailer by a creek side, and the next thing we know, there's a knock on the trailer door. Hey, I'm Brother Vernon Henderson. I'd like for you to ride the church bus and go into church and go to Sunday school and church with me. Well, you have to talk to my mom. She works at Montgomery Ward's in town. And he does, and she says yes. And now, for the first time that I really know in my life, I start hearing the gospel. And a year later, I respond to that message and trust Christ as my Savior. Was God orchestrating our lives? Yes. And I saw that as a junior high student and thanked the Lord for it. God calls on us to remember who He is, what He is doing in our lives. May we stop and look and thank our God. We have so much to be thankful for. May we not stop to give Him thanks. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Thy word. We thank You for this time that Moses called the children of Israel to stop and remember. And Father, at times like this, as we stop to remember and honor those who have given their life to protect, to uphold the Constitution of our country, to uphold our freedoms, we thank You for their sacrifice. We thank You for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was our substitute, dying in our place on that awful cross, bearing our sins in His body, so that we, when we come to Thee by faith and repent of our sin and trust Him, are wondrously born again, given a new life in Christ. And we thank You. And truly, we can't thank You enough for that great means of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. The new life that we have in Him, that You continue to work and mold and shape us. In reality, we could never cease to praise You. And yet, Father, at times we do. Father, indeed, help us to remember what You have done. And as we do, then consider what You are doing and thank You and praise You. And Father, that truly will strengthen us. We will have Your strength to then look to the future. And while it is cloudy, it is hazy, it is uncertain, yet, Father, we go forth in boldness, knowing, because You have been with us in the past, You are with us now, and You've told us You will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us as our tomorrows unfold. And we thank You for that. Father, may we go forth with that knowledge, that understanding, that it is in Your strength that this is accomplished and not ours. Father, may we search our lives as we close here in a moment with a hymn. Truly, may You search us, O God. May we stop, allow You to be at work, and where necessary, seek Your forgiveness and cleansing, and give our thanks to You for what You have done. Do that work now as only You can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.